I want to introduce it with a fascinating Beis HaLevi that sort of opens up the shiur in understanding exactly what the focus of this parasha is all about. I think I got the key to understanding Parashat Shemos this year, understanding what Shibud of Mitzrayim was about, what the deal of Mitzrayim was about, the deal of Klal Yisrael, the Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Shibud, the continuation of Mitzrayim straight into Matan Torah. It's a very, very, very important message, and I want to try and work it through in a five-step process. The Pasuk says, in the beginning of the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, in Perek Hei Pasuk Gimel, Moshe Rabbeinu finally comes to Paro, and he says to him, V'yoymru elekei ha'ivrim nikra elenu. Yeah, elekei ha'ivrim, the God of the Ivrim called to me, and he said, let me go 3 days in the midbar. Etc. In other words, he says, he asked Paro permission to go for 3 days in the midbar. Okay? Asked the Beis HaLevi, why did he do that? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu ask Paro, through the command of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to go for 3 days in the midbar? Why not just say, we're going, we're leaving, finished. Why 3 days? What's the deal of 3 days? No, what's the 3 days? Just say, Paro, we're out of here. Finished, we're out, we're going. Number one. Number two, why even talk to Paro Bechlal? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could just completely knock them out of submission, completely destroy Mitzrayim, and then made a close short leave. We have to ask Paro permission, and Paro said, okay, now you can go. And what's the idea behind this asking permission for 3 days? What's the idea? What's that all about? So according to many Mephoshim, it was a trick to get Paro to follow them out to Mitzrayim, and therefore they should be a Kriyas Yamsuf. But most Parshim do not hold that way. And therefore, why was it that it was so important to have 3 days, and why was Paro's permission? Explain to Beis HaLevi a Muyadik Pshat. He says, it's a Rambam. The Rambam says, Peshetzach, you also ask, answer, Kasha the Rambam, right? The Rambam says, the Rambam in Perikud Aleph Mechira Halacha Tezayin, the Rambam says, if a person is Mechayiv to work for somebody, and he does not know what the work entails, then he's not mechuyev to follow through. Well, the person says, oh, I'm hiring you. To do what? Whatever you tell me to do, I'll do. That, says the Rambam, is not mechuyev. There's no shibud there at all. He's not mechuyev to do at all what he promised to do. However, if he says to him, I'm hiring you to do X, Y, and Z, fine, and I accept X, Y, and Z, then it's a shibud. But just for blanket case, he just says, I'm hiring you, he doesn't know what it's all about, it's not a shibud b'chlal. So asks the Rebbe Salevi, how can Klal Yisrael say, Nasiv and Ishma? How can Klal Yisrael say that we are going to do what Hashem told us to do? But, according to the Ramban, it's not a chiyuv b'chlal. Why? Because if you just say, I'm a Shabbat to do to you, my Odin, my master, whatever you told me to do, but that doesn't include things I don't know what it's all about. So how can Klal Yisrael be mechayev later on to keep the full Torah if they don't know what it's all about? It doesn't work out with this Rambam. Yeah? Answers Beis HaLevi that no, there's a case when a person can be meshamed himself not knowing how much there is a person going to ask him to do, and that is when he becomes an Eved. When a person sells himself as an Eved, then his whole guf is owned by the Odin. His goof is owned by the Odin. And once the goof is owned by the Odin can tell you to do whatever you want because you belong to me. Only time that you can't be Meshavad yourself to something you don't know how much it is, if I belong to myself, and if I belong to myself, then I don't know how much to be Mechayiv upon myself, therefore that blanket Shibud, I can't be Mechayiv. But if I'm coming, it does work. So the Beis HaLevi, Klal Yisrael, the Prophet says, V'yishim ni segula nekol ha'amin. Hashem says, Klal Yisrael should be a segula. Says the Mechel to what segula mean? You should be acquired to me. You should become an Eved to me, says the Kodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, Klal Yisrael can only receive the Torah if they become a Avodim. The only way they can be Mechayiv to keep everything that the Kodesh Baruch Hu promises them to do with a blank check saying, I'll keep everything you say, is not if they are hired by Kodesh Baruch Hu, only if they are a Avodim of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right? And therefore, the difference between a Goy and a Jew is the Yisni Shugula Mikol Amim. All the other Goyim got to keep the seven Noahite laws. They're hired by Kodesh Baruch Hu. in a high the Kodesh Baruch Hu says no chalom, but it not belonging to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We are segulim mikol amim. We are bought by Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore even if the Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't tell us what to keep, we can say blanket thing. We are sold to you. Everything you tell us we're going to do, and therefore that is how they become avodim. And that's a whole different level of connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Says the Beis Halevi, that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, tell Paroi, you're going to go 3 days in the Midbar. In other words, when you're going to the Midbar out after you see us Mitzrayim, who do you belong to? If you're going to only go 3 days, who do you still belong to?
Paroi.
Still belong to Paroi, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Klal Yisrael to belong to Paroi until Matan Torah, in order that they should just change over ownership immediately from Eved to Eved. In other words, I want it to be an Eved of Paroi by Har Sinai, which takes 3 days, if it wasn't for the whole thing of the Yom Tov forever. After 3 days, you'd go immediately from being an Eved to Paroi to Eved Hashem. And that's exactly what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants, just a switch of ownership. But what we don't want is Klal Yisrael to be Bnei Chayin, to have no ownership over them, lose the whole idea of what it is to be an Eved, be free, and then become an Eved Hashem. So Hashem says, no, ask Paroi with his permission. In other words, stay at Paroi's Avodim for those 3 days, go to Har Sinai, and then get the Torah. What happened though? One second. What happened though? Paroi didn't agree. Paroi didn't agree. It's his own Bechira. And therefore Paroi didn't agree, therefore we had to become Bnei Chayin. And because we came Bnei Chayin, we were avodim in Mitzrayim. We were Bnei Chayin for those 49 days. And then we received the Torah. That is why we got a Yetzer Hara today. Oh. That is why we managed the Yetzer Hara and managed to get in. Because if we were proper avodim and we learned how to be proper avodim in Mitzrayim, and would have just gone straight from Avdei Paroi to Avdei Hashem, we would never have become a kli that Yetzer Hara can possibly take any hold of whatsoever. And that's why Dafka 3 days, that's why Dafka with permission. In other words, according to Beis Halevi, it's an unbelievable vote. But according to Beis Halevi, the whole idea of being in Mitzrayim for all those years of becoming a Vodim from the Bris Ben Absorim, I could have spoken to Avram Avinu, that Klal Yisrael are going to be for 400 years a Vodim. They're going to be a Shibud for 400 years. Why a Vodim? To teach us to be an Eved. To teach us what it means to be subjugated to the wish of somebody else. And only that way, only by living in an Eved mentality, living knowing that we're nothing is ourselves, nothing belongs to us, we have to live for somebody else, only by living that way can we become proper Avdei Hashem, can we come and serve Kodesh Baruch Hu in the correct way. Therefore Mitzrayim was a training ground to how to become a proper Jew. It wasn't just, you know, talk to them and therefore the reward is leaving Mitzrayim. No, it was working, breaking our independence, making us into slave mentality, that we should be able to come an Eved Hashem. That was the whole idea of Mitzrayim. Right? So therefore, how does one become a slave? What's the idea of becoming Eved Hashem?
And this... What's that got to do with it? If we would have gone according to plan as to the Yachon,
yeah.
And then there were 3 days, and then we were slaves to Paroi, and we were slaves to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what's that got to do with the ability to say Nasa Vemishma?
No, but we want to be avodim. It's our choice to become avodim. We're changing. Our choice, nothing from is our choice to change from being Avdei Paroi to Avdei Hashem.
Since we said that becoming you can even an eved, what person who becomes an eved can say blanket whatever you want.
Yes.
So I became
an Eved.
Even if you do that, Bnei Chayin, you can do that.
No, but we don't want it to be a chance, a stage to fill Bnei Chayin Avodim. We want to be a nation that's been trained to be Eved, 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 Eved all the way through, and made it just change from Avdei Paroi to Avdei Hashem.
How can an Eved sell himself to someone else's? How can an Eved say Nasa Vishnu?
If it's a choice between.
If I'm Paro's slave, I can become God's slave.
Of course he can. Of course he can. Kodesh Baruch Hu owns Paroi. Of course he can. Avadi, you can.
I can just change over my.
Master to the master's master.
Of course. You can change and become Avadi. Somebody gets taken over. I'm an Eved of Reuven, and a war comes over, and Reuven gets taken captured, and he becomes owned by somebody. I become an Eved to the original owner. That's not.
I'm not Reuven's slave under Shimon and now.
I'm not Reuven's slave. and become immediately owned by the one who took over that nation. Okay, that's semantics, but the Maisa, the vot is an unbelievable vot. The whole idea of Mitzrayim was about Avdus. Now, let's work this through carefully. I don't want to necessarily go through the whole idea of working in Mitzrayim. Now we can fully understand how posh at working, breaking our backs, is obviously a very clear analogy of how we're supposed to work for Rabbeinu Shleilam in building a sukkah or learning Torah. That's posh. But I want to work on other aspects of this parasha to show what this parasha teaches us with regard to other halachos of being an Eved. There is a probably the most strange medrash. I don't believe, I doubt there's a more unusual medrash in the Chol HaTorah Kula than this medrash. Medrash says, it talks about, it's not particularly possible, it's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu with his shidduch. Yeah? Now Moshe Rabbeinu is with a shidduch here with Yisroi. Now let's talk a bit of a background on Yisroi. Yisroi was the archbishop, he was the grand mufti, the Dalai Lama, the Hare Krishna, you name it, all wrapped up in one. Yeah, he was the authority of Avodah Zarah. You know, he had a website, avodahzarah.com. He was an administrator. He knew everything about anything. He had an encyclopedia, a walking encyclopedia of every single Avodah Zarah. He knew it all. Yeah, he knew it all. When he asked him how things were, he'd say, thank God. He knew everything. He was it. He was the authority. The authority. What happened? He went through everything systematically and he realized this wasn't right, 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 until eventually he realized that he threw it all out. And he says, Medrash brings down that he took his kalim and he threw it out in the middle of the street and he says, anyone who wants to have my kalim, feel free, I want nothing, any of these kalim, I don't want to have anything to do with this. So the town people obviously put him into a cheirim. A cheirim. They put him into cheirim, excommunication. And excommunication means that the Medrash brings down that his daughters were in danger, he was in danger, his property was in danger. In other words, he put himself to a tremendous physical risk by giving up all of their Avodah Zarah, looked at him as a total heretic, looked at him as a Chil Hashem, and therefore ultimately he put himself Moisa Nefesh Mamish for the sake of Emes. Okay? Fine. Now what happens? He finds an unbelievable son-in-law, the greatest man ever lived and ever will live. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest man ever lived and ever will live. Fourth son-in-law. Unbelievable. What a shidduch. So he comes to Moshe Rabbeinu sitting down and he says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, you can marry my daughter, she's a very special girl. One condition. What's the condition? The first child you have, he has to be available to become working for Avodah Zarah. That's it. Otherwise, fine, you can get your chosen shas, you can get your watch. Yeah, you get, you can buy, you know, whoever wants Masala Kedushin, be Masala Kedushin. That's one tonight I want. The tonight I want is, one tonight I want that the first child that's going to be born should be given over to Avodah Zarah. And you know what? Moshe Rabbeinu agreed. He agreed? Fine. Made the Chaim, and that's it. What's going on here? What's going on here? Moshe Rabbeinu agreeing. Yisrael being so Moshe Nefesh for the sake of Yisrael is being so moist and nefesh for the sake of giving up Avodah Zarah that he makes it tonight. Moshe Rabbeinu could have just walked away. He would have lost the greatest shidduch ever, the most eligible bachelor, brought up in Paris palace, leader of Klal Yisrael. He saw his supernatural Moshe Rabbeinu. Supernatural, right? And giving it all away for this crazy tonight, and Moshe Rabbeinu even accepted it. What's going on here?
Is this tonight after he realized everything else was
shidduch
and he came to realize?
Yes. Can you see from the Pesukim that Moshe Rabbeinu held them by the world because nobody else would tell them, they put into danger? Unbelievable, right? What's going on here? So the Mepharshim explained that Moshe Rabbeinu's Kiruv technique. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu agreed to it was an order to say, yeah, don't worry, I'll give him. And then Yisroi will become closer to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu finally will bring Yisroi over to become a Jew. And once he becomes a Jew, that will be an unbelievable Kiddush Hashem. Yisroi dropped everything else to become a Jew. That was Moshe's Kiruv ploy. Yeah, it was like, yeah, don't worry, yeah, no problem. That's the Daf Kain of other places, says, as other Mepharshim say, that was Moshe Rabbeinu's Kiruv tool. Fine, interesting thing, how far you can go for Kiruv, but that is, no, honestly, that's halacha maisa, it's an interesting thing. Yeah. But what's the shot in Yisroi? Sorry, Yanni.
That's fine, yeah. It's just how you can laugh at Kiruv.
Yeah, it's interesting how far one can go, I don't know. But anyway, Kasha. But that, what is Yisroi doing? Yisroi just realized everything he wants his grandson to be, and the Gemara says, And the Medrash says, you know what, for the Oinish, that Yisra did it, and Moshe Rabbeinu agreed, ultimately the grandson, the son of Eliezer, Yonason ben Gershon ben Moshe, Yonason ben Gershon, son of Gershon, became a Kaimer, became a priest to Avodah Zarah Pesel Michal. Yitzhak did the Oinish of the whole thing. He became a priest. His son didn't. His son went around, looked around himself, and he realized it was all stuff. And he was a Jew.
He was given up to
Avodah Zarah. According to one percent, yes, he was given up. He was given up, and he just checked out what was going on, and he saw it was a joke, so he came back. But his son, Taka Nebuch, became a Galach for Avodah Zarah. Now,
who became
the son? Yonason ben Gershon ben Moshe.
Gershon.
What's going on? Says the Chaim Shmulevitz, an unbelievable thought. Says the Chaim Shmulevitz, Yisroel was willing to suffer persecution. He's willing to suffer death threats. He's willing to suffer putting his children in danger, willing to suffer excommunication and all his money being taken away from him. But one thing he couldn't commit to, and that was commitments. He cannot commit to commitments. In other words, if you want me to live as a Jew, that's fine. If you want me to decide to live as a Jew, and because everything else is stuss, that's fine. But to force every one of my children and grandchildren to become a Jew because that is what Rosh Hashanah is, I cannot commit to that. In other words, I can. Don't mind doing something, not being forced to do it. But once you're forcing me and telling me that I have to make sure that all my future generations are going to have to be Jewish, that I can't take. That is not possible for me to commit to. I cannot commit to commitments. Because that is something that is extremely difficult for a person to live up to. When you say you have to do something, you can't do it anymore. That's the thing. He brings a raya from David HaMelech, said to his son Shlomo HaMelech. Yeah, you have the case, or Shimon ben Gera. He said that Shimon ben Gera, he was in the Rosh Sanhedrin. He lived in Yerushalayim. He said to Shlomo HaMelech, do something that people will realize that it's not because of me you're killing him. Do something that he's going to really go against the Melech and kill him for that. In other words, don't kill him because he cursed me, because people will see, it looks at it personal. Do something that he's gone against your word, and he killed him for going against your word. Shlomo HaMelech said, no problem. He said to Shimon ben Gera, you can build a house in Yerushalayim, but you're never allowed to leave Yerushalayim. Never allowed to leave Yerushalayim. Now, Yerushalayim was the place of the Sanhedrin, was the place of Gevaldig Shechina, the whole world wants to live in Yerushalayim, right? And he's got a house in Yerushalayim, so don't leave Yerushalayim. Big deal. How many people? You know how many people haven't left Yerushalayim? A lot of people haven't even left Yerushalayim, some people haven't left Yerushalayim, so what's a big deal? You know what he did? He left Yerushalayim, and he killed him. Asked Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, how did he know he was going to leave Yerushalayim? How did he know he was going to go against his word? The answer is, because nobody can commit to commitments, unless an Eved Hashem. If you take a child to the circus, right, and he's been looking forward to going to the circus, he'll have a fantastic time. If you force him to go to the circus, he'll be miserable. It'll be the last place he wants to be. The hardest thing to commit is commitments. And that was, Yosef said, I don't mind being Jewish, I don't mind giving up, but to make that all my grandchildren are going to be Jewish as well, that I'm not willing to commit to.
How is it all his grandpa? He's not to marry his daughter. Why does that mean Yosef's grandpa? What does that mean?
I cannot commit that I am making a commitment, that I am becoming so Jewish, yes, that I'm committing to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that I'm going to commit that all my grandchildren will be Jewish as well.
It's
his grandchildren. I cannot commit to absolute Yiddishkeit. I want a way out. I want an exit plan. My exit plan is that my grandchild is going to become a claimant.
I don't understand. He's not committed. Who said he's converting? Who said yes or somebody? We might be done with three or four daughters he has.
He knew the MS. He gave it all up. But he said, with getting it all up and becoming, realizing the MS, I still need an exit plan. I need to be able to say that my grandchild will not be in my ways and he will become a goy. I need to feel that I'm not fully committed. Fully committed means I am absolutely sure with what I'm doing, and I'm willing to take on it for now, for generations and generations, they're all going to be Jews. Yisrael couldn't do that. And therefore, with everything that's willing to Moshe Nefesh, he couldn't do that. So the first lesson of Shibud, the Gemara says, I'll just give a quick Gemara, the Gemara says an unbelievable thing. The Gemara says that if a person is choshud on Aroyis, if a person is an immoral person, he cannot give Eidus that an Isha is married or not. Why? Says the Gemara, because perhaps he will say an unmarried woman is really married. Why? In other words, she's really not married. But he'll say that she's married. And therefore, because by saying she's married, he, when he has, if he'd have relations with her, he'll have the pleasure of living in his fantasy world of being with a woman. She's not married, but because he said she is married, he's living in a fantasy world of having relations with a married woman. To him, is more pleasurable, and therefore that's why he's not married. That is how far a person is willing to break the boundaries of commitment. Even in his own mind, he's not naming to give evidence that she's not married. He'll make out if she is married, in order that he should, in his own fantasy world of this, she is married, he'll be able to say, I'm rain shadow, I don't care about you, she's married, because she's not married. There's nothing wrong, she's a penuyah, she's not married, fine. But I want to kick so hard against the brain shadow, I don't want to commit to anything, that I'm willing to make an imaginary board of imaginary border around this Isha, break that border, because that is human nature. To break borders, and that's even willing to get, I'm even going to get hanover by breaking an imaginary border. That's how far people go.
Do they say bichayv karnish over
them? He won't be chayv, no. He won't be chayv, he won't be chayv any very bichlal. He won't be chayv any very bichlal. Because the maaseh, she's not married. He's not married, but he's not neman to give aid to her, she is or not, because he's going to create this border only for his own pleasure. That is how much a person is not willing to commit. And that is the first level of avdus. The first level of avdus is to realize that if you like it or not, there's 630 mitzvahs and you've got to keep to it. Now, whatever they told you till now, it's not all or nothing. It's not true. Okay? It is all or nothing. Okay? I'm safe to say. I think it's safe to say we are committed to keeping everything.
With a balance.
With a balance. With a balance. Yeah, it's with a balance. Absolutely with a balance. But it is, we are committed to be Avdei Hashem. And that the first lesson is how great the Yitzhak not to commit, and that's the way you have to commit. That's one lesson.
Can I ask a question now? How do you get someone to commit to anything in life in general? Like you're speaking to a woman, you're on a shiva. You've got to commit to me. How do you do it? How are you meant to put across commitment in a way that they will commit without actually being overwhelmed and running away? You have to make a back door open the whole time?
No, you don't make a back door. A person should be so in touch with Ratzon Hashem that he should be able to commit. You ask anybody. Ask anybody. You know, we used to do this in Discovery. Ask anybody. Tell me, are you planning getting married? Yeah. Can you tell me that you're going to love this person the rest of your life? I don't know. You never know. Who knows? Okay, now ask a different question. Are you going to have children? Hopefully you're going to have children one day? Yeah. Are you going to commit to loving them the rest of your life? Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's a big difference?
What's the big difference?
One huge sport from you.
The difference is commitment. The difference is commitment. I'm committed to loving the person that comes forth from me, because I'm committed to loving myself. Right? But I'm not committing to love somebody else. And the Torah says, commit to loving somebody else. Right? You don't find it. Famous story of, sitting in the office and then little big little fat little thing goes, bang, twang, and Cupid, and suddenly you fall in love with somebody else, and suddenly your wife's out of the house and somebody else is in the house. Yeah? Do you find the same with kids? Yeah? You're taking your kids, I say, sorry, kids. No, I wasn't looking for it, it just happened, and I'm very sorry, you're out and somebody else, the kids are in. You don't do that. Why doesn't that happen? Because there's no commitment. And if a commitment to Kodesh Baruch means whatever happens, we commit it. That is the first stage of Avdus. Another lesson.
So why did Moshe Rabbeinu...
We've got so much to do, I'm sorry. No, that terrace is according to that terrace because it's Derech Kiruv. It's a kasha. And the Chanam, it's a Derech Kiruv. No, it's not... Okay, next kasha, next stage. Now this is I heard. This is Chaim Shmulevitz. This is a famous piece of Chaim Shmulevitz. It's a very, very famous piece. Now, but it's like, no. The next piece is all the Mepharshim say this. I mean, I've heard this from many, many different sources. I can't quote any of them, but from many sources. The pasuk says that this. The pasuk says. But Yochem Melech Cholosh Mitzrayim Asher Yodei Yosef. Yochem Melech stood up Mitzrayim Asher Yodei Yosef. Perik Aleph Pasuk Ches. But Yoimel Amo, he said to his nation, Hine, Am Bnei Yisrael Rava Otzim Imenu. Klal Yisrael, a lot, Otzim Imenu, the powerful. Hovon Ischak Bonoi. Now listen to this. Have you ever heard of Sophic?
Yeah.
You get Sophic Deraisa, Sophic Derabonon. You know the Svex Faker? He finds a Sophic Svex Faker. Listen to this. Mamish Machmir Korn to all shippers. Pen Yerbe. Perhaps Klal Yisrael will become Pen. So doubt number one, maybe Klal Yisrael will be very numerous. Number one. Vahoya, Kisikrena Mochoma, and perhaps there'll be a Vahoya, and there'll be a war. Who said there'll be a war? Maybe there won't be a war. Maybe there will. Maybe there won't. Okay, second doubt. Vanoisav Gamhua Se Nenu, and maybe they will go with our enemies. Maybe not. Why should they? Why should people, citizens, join with their enemies? Maybe yes, maybe not, but maybe. Vanilcham Bonu, another doubt. And if they join with their enemies, not only will they be passive and not fight with them, but they'll fight against us, another Suffolk. And not only that, will they win over us and not allow us to stay here, they'll kick us out. Suffolk, Svex Faker. You know what? Fine, you've got Suffolk, Svex Faker. What should we do? Let's wipe out Klal Yisrael. Let's kill them all. Kill all the firstborn. Let's kill all the males. Now this is a little doubtful, right? A Suffolk, Svex Faker, and therefore we've got to make a terrible thing, wipe out Klal Yisrael. What's the idea behind this? It doesn't make sense. Answer the Bale Musa, that is exactly what we do every day of our life. The Yetzer Hara, we power is the Yetzer Hara. You know, I want to stay and learn the rest of my life, but who knows whether I have enough money? You have plenty of money, you know, your father is a wealthy man and he's happy to support you. Yeah, but who says he's going to always have money? But why should he? No, because he never heard of Madoff, he never heard of other things. Yeah, but he's got his money in investments. Yeah, but who knows? Maybe the banks are going to collapse. But why should banks collapse? We never heard of banks. Banks do collapse. Yeah, but he's got that special bank. But maybe this special Suffolk. You know what, Zeph? I've got to get a job straight away today. I'm desperate. I haven't got money. Right? That is the way Yetzer Hara works. Suffolk, Svex Faker wipes you out.
Is this the definition of paranoia?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, Nixon having this table, you'd also have suffered from paranoia if the whole world hated you. You know?
Yeah.
So this was the Suffolk Svex Faker. The idea is that a person mustn't be afraid of what's and ifs. Just because something may not work out financially or may not work out, chavrusa, may not be successful, who knows? You build barriers around yourself, stopping giving yourself limitations because of Suffolk Svex Faker. An Eved doesn't think that way. An Eved works with what I see in front of me. What's going to happen? I'm an Eved. I don't make cheshbonos like that. If something makes sense to do, I do it. What happens? What if can totally destroy our life. And if an Eved doesn't think what if, an Eved Hashem knows what he has to do and he does it. But what happens if he knocks it off? Who knows what if? Who cares? That's a second lesson.
You've got to prepare yourself.
To a certain extent. Right. But Klal Yisrael create reality. Reality does not create Klal Yisrael.
Right. Sophic Lechumra, not
Sophic. Sophic Lechumra, exactly one Sophic Lechumra, but Sophic Svex Faker. Come on. The third thing is another. In other words, the first idea is of stopping Avdus is Poshut, not willing to commit. Second stage of stopping Avdus is physical obstacles. Who knows what's going to happen? The third stage of stopping Avdus is spiritual obstacles. What spiritual obstacles? As the Pasuk later on, the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu is walking along in the desert, and he sees a snare. He sees the bush burning. This is in Perek. One second. Yeah, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Base. Vayera Malach Hashem Elo Belabas Eish Betoy Hasneh. Vayar and he saw Vehine Hasneh Boya Beish. The snare is burning. Hasneh Einenu Ukol. And the snare is not being consumed. Vayera Moshe. Moshe. Oh, let's have a look. Asurano Ve'eres Amarah Godel Hazeh Madu Layiva Hasneh. Why is the snare not burning? Vayema Hashem ki saw Liros, Hashem saw that he went to see Vayikra Elov Elakim Atoy Chasne. Vayema Moshe Vayema Hineni. Moshe Vayema Hineni. This was the first connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, what's this whole idea about the snare? What's the whole message of the snare? Why the snare? The problem over here was Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest Novi, but the biggest honor of Mikol Odom. Most humble person ever was. Yeah, Avdi Moshe. Ma'avdi Moshe, honor of Mikol Adam, the greatest honor. So Moshe Rabbeinu, so Hashem has to show Moshe Rabbeinu, I've got to show you something. I'm going to put you in the world's greatest job that ever was. The greatest job. Taking Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, taking them to Har Sinai, and taking them to Eretz Yisrael. That's unbelievable. Moshe Rabbeinu's going to think, me? Even if I had the koyach to do it, it's power corrupt. I'm going to become a bad person through this. It's not good for me. It's not good for me to have too much power. I'm wonderful, Baruch Hashem, I'm working my midas now, but if you put me in a position of power, I'm going to get my power corrupted. Right? I'm going to get corrupted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want to give you a message. You know the snare? It says little bush. Tiny little bush. Right? What's coming from this bush? Huge flames. Snare's very lowly. Snare's very lowly. What's coming from the snare? Huge flames. You know what? And the snare can still exist. Even with huge flames coming from a tiny bush, it doesn't necessarily mean the bush is going to be consumed. The bush can continue to survive even with huge flames coming out from it. Moshe Rabbeinu, you can be a little snare. You can still remain a little snare with huge fire coming out from it, and it can still feel like a snare. And therefore, Moshe Hashem said to him, you see what's going on here? Moshe, Moshe, v'yomer hineni. That's Moshe, Moshe, v'yomer hineni. That reminds me of a famous story of Moshe Feinstein walking down the street. Right? And Moshe Feinstein was a God Lador, living in the Lower East Side. God Lador. Tshuva Sfarim, Mamish, the God Lador Mamish. And a mother, when he's over 90 years old, a mother calls out, Moshe, Moshe! And Moshe Feinstein walks up. Who's calling me? She's calling her little son. Who's calling me? He's yeah, v'yomer Moshe, Moshe, v'yomer hineni. Yeah, you can be a Moshe Feinstein, you can be Mamish, a God Lador, and it's all Moshe, Moshe. And just as an anecdote, it's not Mamish. It's not shut in the bottom, right? Vayomer hineni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, Moshe, you can be a Moshe at the beginning and you can remain a Moshe. In other words, Moshe is not going to be the same. Moshe, Moshe, you can remain a Moshe. That's my vote. You can remain a Moshe all the way through. Don't worry, you're not going to be corrupted by power. That's the third thing. In other words, being Eved Hashem, don't believe that you're going to break, you have to break your middos and you have to go down, you have to stoop to levels of spirituality that's going to break your level of ruchnius. You can remain the same level. You can remain a snare with fire shooting out of you. Don't worry about it. There's another vault. That's the third level. The fourth level is that the fourth level I want to call is it requires you living like an Eved. It requires you to absolutely give away all your knee-jerk reactions to work like an Eved. This is a fascinating thing. The prophet says at the end of the parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu is walking towards Mitzrayim. Not to end, but in the middle of the parasha, he's walking towards Mitzrayim, and he had a newborn baby. Eliezer, a newborn baby. His wife had just given birth, and he's on the way to Mitzrayim. He's dealing with the hotel bill, trying to get a room. Right? Suddenly, this huge snake comes in, and swallows that Moshe all the way up till his waist. Right? Small down. The prophet said, "Tikach tepeir tzor." On the way from Moshe Rabbeinu going from Midian to Mitzrayim. Okay? And the prophet says, one second. Where are we? Vahibadarach Mamaloin, Perak Dalad Mish Apostle Chof Dalad, he's on the way to the Maloin, Vit Kishaya Hashem Ivakish Amisa, Hashem wanted to kill him. Vatikach Tsupoyer took a stone, Vatikhrais is Orlaf Bano, and she cut the Orlaf of a child, Vatagalaragu Vatamaki Chasam Dom Atoli. She saved his life. Now let's understand this carefully. Again, I don't in any way want to, you know, embellish a point too far, but let's understand this. A woman straight after birth, right? It's the eighth day. Woman straight after birth. Just been through a birth. Now, usually, you know, there's Betach Lama, and, you know, there's people coming, sending in hot food, right? She's none of this. She's leaving Midian to go to Mitzrayim on a life-endangering thing to go and challenge Paro. You know, she can't be the best of nerves, right? Now, she goes to the Malon, right, and she sees a huge snake swallowing up her husband to his waist. Now, what does a normal woman do? Bash a snake over the head with a handbag, right? If she does anything, yes, shrieking and shrieking and yelling and stamping. And if it does anything, she takes the thing and starts bashing the snake over the head. What does she do? What does she do? Nothing. Nothing. Takes a stone. Not that you took a knife. Took a stone. Oh. She sharpened the stone. Went to her child and did bris mila on her child. Now, bris mila is a complicated operation, right? She did bris mila, which means she was totally in control of the situation. She knew exactly what had to be done, how it had to be done, and the way it had to be done, and she saved Moshe's life. Now, that's superwoman. But that is an Eved Hashem, says the parasha. A parasha, in other words, you person got to be so in control of their emotions, got to be so in touch with what's going on, that what does Hashem want? Forget about what I want. And Eved, in the middle of the night, he'll jump up. Yeah, I'm tired. There's such things I'm tired. I'm doing what Hashem wants me to do. Right? That is an unbelievable koyach of an Eved. The fourth lesson is, the absence of Mitzrayim, and a lesson taught by Tzipora teaches us, then an Eved has got to live like an Eved, has got to think like an Eved. You know why they say no Eved ever left time? You know why? Not because it's impossible, but because it made an Eved feel like he's an Eved, if it's not worth leaving Mitzrayim. They said an Eved never left Mitzrayim. You know why? The Mepharshim explained, because it made the Eved Avodim feel like Avodim. You're an Eved, you're never going to be successful anywhere else, you might as well stay here. No Eved even wanted to leave Mitzrayim because he felt like an Eved. An Eved Hashem is somebody who doesn't want to even do anything else. An Eved Hashem doesn't even want to have Chaza. An Eved Hashem is only doing it because that is what Ratzon Hashem is. This lesson teaches us, a person's got to be, supposed to teach us how he's supposed to think. Not supposed to flip when things happen, and supposed to panic. You're supposed to think, our mind is supposed to go immediately into gear. What is Ratzon Hashem at this stage? That is Avdus. That's the fourth lesson. And the fifth lesson, just very quickly, is there's a medrash that talks about Vayokem El Chodosh. The medrash says that Paroi actually wanted to fight against his entire nation. His entire nation were afraid about Klal Yisrael, and they said, we need to make them into slaves. Paroi said, I can't do it. Not for me. What's not for me? I cannot enslave a nation whose Yosef kept us in business. Yosef supported us all these years. He saved the whole economy of Mitzrayim. He saved the whole world. I can't take his family and make them into slaves. So the Mitzrayim said, you know what, Paroi? Fine, leave. So Paroi stood up, and for 3 months, he was not a melech anymore. He left the throne. After 3 months, he couldn't anymore. But Yochem Melech Chodosh, he came back, and he became all the way back to the melech again, and became Paroi. Yeah?
How do you let a deity leave?
Yeah, but he left and he came back again. Unbelievable! Oh, a Kurus of Toiv. Which one of us would do such a thing? Mm-hmm. You know, got a Kurus of Toiv, and that's when we leave to become the Melech of an empire just because he can't do the Kurus of Toiv. But at the end of the day, he flipped around again. Later on, though, we find by the Meyalas of Ivrioys, by the midwives, they were forced to do terrible things. By Paritol, the firstborn, what did they do? They didn't do it, and they kept going. You don't see any break in their commitment. What's the difference? Why did Paritol after 3 months break? And they didn't break. What's the difference? The answer is, many people are born with naturally good middos. People are born with good middos. But when push comes to shove, when things get a little bit hectic, unless a person is an Eved Hashem, unless a person has Yerushalayim, they're going to crack. I always remember, British people are known for their manners. Right? I was on the underground. On a very, very hot day, a couple of years ago, an air conditioning broke down in the underground. You should have seen how these very gentlemen with the bowler hats and the pinstripe suits, they were yelling at each other. I had such a no. I enjoyed it so much. Yeah, I could really see that underneath, they know, all the, oh, bang hair, old chap, oh, jolly hair. And but they were like, shut up, ugly. They're yelling at each other. You know, it's like, oh, because what's going on? Because if a person doesn't have real Yerushalayim, real commitment to MS, yeah, they can be born, they can have naturally good middos, but pressure wears them down and lost to all. Paroi had naturally good middos with regard to Kurus HaToiv. That's the good middos he had, but he got worn down, he lost it totally. They worked in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, nothing can change. You stay in Eved Hashem, you can have all the pressure in the world, you can stay in Eved Hashem. Midas doesn't change just because you're afraid by the Melech Mitzrayim. That doesn't scare me. I'm afraid of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that stays. So there are 5 points to Avdus. Lesson number one is commitment. Lesson number two is not being afraid of physical barriers. Pen. Right? Well, yeah, these things don't affect me. What has to be done has to be done. Number three, spiritual barriers. of Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps he's going to be coming to Baal Gaiva. No, the snare can burn and it can still remain a snare, not going to be Ukol. The fourth level is the idea of thinking like an Eved, beginning to think what does a master want, not what I want, being totally in control by leaving your own desires and your own panic to looking for Ratzon Hashem. And the fifth one is the concept of ongoing, being persistent in Eved Hashem. I just want to finish off with one vort. The parasha says, there's a medrash, the medrash says, Aaron Kotler says this vort. Aaron Kotler says, by the snare, Moshe Rabbeinu, it just wraps up this, I'm a little bit late, but it wraps up his whole idea. There's one problem with being an Eved. There's one problem with being an Eved. There's one problem with being second in command. What's the problem with being second in command?
It's a second in command.
And?
Don't use initiative.
You don't use your own initiative. You get people who are very good at following orders. But using their own initiative, an Eved doesn't use their own initiative. He follows orders. Whatever you tell me, I do it straight away. But using their own initiative, not. So they've just got to balance out this Abdus with, you've got to be an Eved with initiative. The parasha says, in Perek Gimel, talks about Moshe Rabbeinu with a snare. He says, "Vayam Moshe." The pasuk says, "Vayera Malach Hashem belavas toich a snare." Vayav hine a snare boy be'ish. The snare is burning. The snare in the not being consumed. Vayoyim Moshe asurano ve'ere. I want to go over to this right and have a look. Esamah gadolazem. My wife not burning. The machlekes nigmar Rav Yechanan Rav Shlokish. Rav Yechanan said he made three steps. He made three steps to see what was going on. And Rav Shlokish said he didn't make three steps, he just bent down to see what was going on. Says the Gemara, the zchus of investigating something, didn't have to investigate, he could just carried on, who cares. The fact that he showed initiative to investigate, see what's going on that zchus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Vayoyim Hashem Kisol Lirois, he showed initiative. Says the Medrash, that if Moshe Rabbeinu would not have shown this initiative, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have called Moshe Rabbeinu. He would have lost it.
Is it the Medrash that says because he showed this initiative?
Yes.
The
Medrash says because he went through three steps, he became Moshe Rabbeinu. He could have been born a tzaddik. He could have been he could have been a greatest novi. He could have been born at the honor of Nikola. He could have had everything going for him, but he didn't show initiative. You've lost it. You're not our Moshe. That's not the person I'm looking for. Because he showed this initiative, a little bit of initiative. Find out what's going on. Have a little look. This was why he was zeicha to Hashem calling out to him and him becoming the savior of Klal Yisrael, as it were. In other words, you can be the greatest Eved with all the five conditions, but above that, you've got to live not as an Eved and have initiative. Hashem should give us the Siat Tishmai to work on Eved Hashem Gomel, to commit to ongoing commitment to be Eved Hashem, and Hashem should be Zoycha, just like he took us out of Mitzrayim, take us out of our own personal boundaries and make us proper B'nei Chorin, Ein B'nei Chorin and Misha Isik B'Torah.
Oh, next step. Yeah, no,